But when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Bacon-Eating Fool.
Mr. Bacon-Eating Fool.
Some say it's just for breakfast. Oh, no, no, no. You know that any time is the right time to fry, microwave, or throw a heaping helping in the oven. Oh, connoisseur of sliced swine.
Cure that hunger with pure pork belly.
That's not bacon. It's bacon on bacon.
And it needs a little more bacon, yeah.
So the next time you crave a porcine plateful of bacon brittle, a bacon-wrapped filet, bacon-covered pizza, chocolate-covered bacon, or a bucket of bacon bits, we'll tip our pork pie hat to you, Mr. Bacon-Eating Fool, a real American hero.
Mr. Bacon-Eating Fool.
You don't just eat bacon. You let it melt in your mouth like meaty candy.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning. Welcome to Tuesday, November 9th, 2010. Welcome to my hell this morning.
Woo!
Computer problems, and I'm...
We're going to race in hell, huh?
I'm flat, man. I'm flat. Good morning, everybody. Good morning to you, Kara.
What's going on, man?
Nothing. I just...
Just tell us what's going on, because you know you're stressed right now.
Yeah, I'm stressed because of computer problems, and it's like it haunts me. It fucking haunts me, you know? And the first thing in the morning to deal with computer problems is just not my cup of tea. I can't really deal with it. So I'm a little irritated this morning, but I'm sure by the end of the show I'll be fine.
You guys, right? When Sam gets, like, pissy like this, it's like... I know you're serious, so I try to, like, back off. But I also...
It's not pleasant to be around.
No, it's not that bad. I actually found it funny.
You do,
huh? I try not to laugh. I know, because no, part of me knows, like, oh, shit, he's pissed. But then part of me is also like, this is really funny. Because I just... You get all, like, serious. You're like,
I guess it is funny, but it doesn't feel funny.
I can't fucking believe this right now.
Uh-huh.
And it cracks me up.
Yeah.
But I'm also like, oh, yeah, it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So you doing okay, though? Do you feel better now?
No, not really.
Really?
But, yeah, but that's good. It's fine. It's all good. I'll have to forget about it. I won't even think about it for an hour now.
Don't think about it for an hour.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. What can you control?
Well, you can control things. You'd be amazed. But usually the computer controls you, so that's clear.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's just there's so much maintenance on this place.
No, it's just that it's not even here. It's on a computer at home, you know. And, because, you know, I had to reinstall Windows on my wife's computer because it was full of viruses and shit like that. And reinstalling that, it's like open heart surgery, you know. It's
why
like
you
have to put everything
over. Why don't
you just
do Macs? Macs are the best.
What?
Just do a Mac.
Macs? No, they're not any better.
They're so user-friendly, they don't get viruses.
It's bullshit. It's all bullshit, believe me. And they crash. People say they don't crash. They do crash. I've had Macs in the past, and it's all a bunch of bullshit. And, you know, I can't use a Mac for the stuff that I do. You know, there's no programs for it.
So, really?
Yeah. I mean, look, they've got less than 10% of the market.
Well, that's because they're highly expensive, but they're very, very good for creative work.
That's an old story too, an old wives' tale, because now every program that you have for the Mac, you have for the PC as well.
Yeah, but Macs are just so way more straightforward. They're more protected. I'm not saying they're fail-proof. You're right, but they're just, I think they're all around just easier, better computers.
Yeah, but you know, when you try to get a little more technical, then you can't, you know, and because it sort of like shields you from yourself.
Oh.
You know, the Mac does. So. Yeah, but no Macs for me, man. I'm not into it. But Apple has invaded my family. Yesterday,
it's invading.
Yeah. Yesterday, my daughter had to have an iPhone, so we went and got her an iPhone. So So now everybody's got an iPhone.
How do you guys like it now? Did you like it? Don't you like your iPhone now?
Yeah, I do. I do. Why? I always liked it.
Well, remember when they said you had to hold it a certain way? Cause the...
I know. Well, you know what? They fixed that. So.
Oh, they did? Okay, good.
Yeah, I downloaded an update. And, yeah, the new iPhone, it's like the buttons get pressed by your face when you talk. So, and it was really annoying, you know, because sometimes it would start the settings for the rings, for the ringtones.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the middle of a conversation, it starts playing music for me or a bell ringing or something, you know. It was pretty embarrassing. So,
that's funny.
Yeah, but they fixed it with the new version of their operating system. So.
Well, let's get down to business, people.
Yes, let's get down to business.
I mean, what do you think about the fact that it's starting to feel Christmassy outside or Hanukkah-y?
I love it.
Don't you love it?
Yeah, yeah.
It all of a sudden, I'm not even lying, like 3 days ago, it was like 98 degrees. Mm-hmm. It literally was like 96, 98 degrees. I smelled like baked skin. You know, I'm driving around without my AC on because I'm trying to save on gas, of course. Mm-hmm. And I've just got the blaring heat on my left side of my body where I'm driving. Uh-huh. And I just smell like suntanned skin in November. Yeah. It's really not as sexy. Well, it kind of could be sexy, but it's not a very, it's just, it's like you've been doing shit kind of smell. It's not
really?
Like a,
yeah.
I'm ready for you smell. It's like a.
Well, maybe if you take a shower, the sweat will come out.
Look,
more.
Man, when you run around, you got to get places.
That is
I can't
smelly.
Keep going. I can't keep going and taking showers all day long. I just got to do it or don't. Get in the car, make it work. And so, yeah, smelling like baked skin. Isn't that nice? That's a very nice in Hannibal Lecter.
Sounds good, yeah.
Very Hannibal Lecter-y. But now all of a sudden it's crisp. It's like, what is it, in like the 60s?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, last night it was freezing.
It was freezing last night. I walked to my car.
You know, because it was windy, too. So
it was just nice, though.
Yeah, you like it freezing?
Not freezing, but it just feels crisp. It feels like there's change.
Yeah.
People need the feeling of change.
It does, you know, but I got to tell you, last night I felt pretty depressed from this time change. You know, because everything.
Are you serious?
Because it gets dark so early.
Oh, yeah. You got it.
You know, so around 8 o'clock.
You cannot let yourself give in to the fact that, you know, it's like an hour of dark. You know what I mean?
Well, no, you don't give in, but in the beginning it's sort of a shock to the system.
Yeah.
You know, because I love daylight. So when it gets dark at like 5 o'clock, man, that's pretty stressful.
You just got to make sure that you leave your house. Like the other day I was like, oh, man, it's 5:30. I need to stay in. It's dark. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I need to get ready for this. And I was like, no, go out. Get out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to get out there and you got to live life.
Okay, I will do that.
Mm-hmm.
When's your next performance again?
Next Wednesday, November 17th.
Oh, okay.
It's called Women Who Kill. I'm going to post something on Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And you're coming.
Women Who Kill.
Women
I
who
like
kill.
That. Yeah.
It's really funny.
I hope you guys kill, man, because I'm not in the mood for boring comedy shows.
Well, is there anything about me that seems boring? If I'm just here.
No, but
chatting,
you're not the only one there.
That's true. But no, she's got a good thing going, this lady.
Okay.
Yeah. Women Who Kill's next Wednesday, November 17th, at the Improv. You can actually just email me if you want tickets. I can get people in for free. But if you don't get there by 8, you do have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get there by 7:45 to pick it up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but if you guys need tickets, just email me. KaraKimbrough@gmail.com.
Yeah.
I was supposed to have an LA Talk Radio one, but that never worked.
No, it doesn't work?
It doesn't work. It never worked.
Oh.
So now people have my personal information.
It never worked.
It never worked. So people could just stalk me, which is great. They haven't, but, you know, except for that guy yesterday in the car. That was funny.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to show up today at the coffee shop, but he didn't.
No, he didn't,
no,
huh?
Which is good. I tried going to 3 different coffee shops this morning, but on my way to this one, because I was like, I don't
looking
know.
For him?
No, I was avoiding. I was avoiding going there because I didn't really want to have, I wanted to sit in a, you know, just not even deal with that.
Yeah.
And one was just clogged with the traffic. The other one was shut down, and the other one I'd already passed. And I'm like, I don't have time to go back there. So I just went there, and he didn't show up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
No, it's pretty easy breezy, pretty mellow then. You know, I love people watching.
Yeah. But you also like to be chased by men.
I do. I like a good chase down. I like a good car chase by a man. It's fun. I don't really know if I want to be caught, but I like the chase.
Yeah.
You know? It's fun.
Yeah, I'm sure. You like the attention.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
I don't know. It's not hard to figure me out, people. I'm pretty upfront about it. I'm like, yeah. Like, you like the attention, don't you? And they're expecting me to go, no. I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah. Love
it
every
minute
of
it. Shuts down the
it.
Conversation. People want to kind of label you as something like, you like the attention, don't you? I'm like, absolutely. And they're like, oh, okay.
Give me more of it.
Yeah, more, please. I'll take seconds. You're not going to eat all that? Give it here. Yeah, I'll have it. Sure. Mm-hmm. Look what I can do. Look what I can do. Look what I can do. Look
I
what I can do.
I think everybody likes a little bit of attention, don't
everybody
you
loves attention in some way. I mean, people love it in different ways. Like, I know some people that are, they get debilitatingly nervous if they have to speak in front of people, or they kind of get super, super nervous. I went through that phase, like, early high school where I was awkward, and in junior high. I went through that, like, junior high, kind of early high school, where I was really awkward, and I knew I was different. Like, I said things that were people didn't say, and then they'd look at me weird, and I was like, why is this weird? Because you don't know who, you just know who, you don't know that you're different. You just, you know, and in that age, everybody just wants to be the same.
That's true. Yeah. You want to fit in.
Nobody's trying to be eccentric. Everybody just wants to be exactly like everyone else. Mm-hmm. And so growing up, I just realized, you know, something's a little different about me. And I was always, I didn't know how to manage it. And sometimes I could fit in and sometimes I couldn't. And, but it kind of a lot of my, nerves and fear and anxiety of dealing with the public and speaking in front of people, or having attention drawn to me, it was really ironed out. You know, it kind of got ironed out at a younger age. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm invincible. I'm not. I mean, I can still get nervous.
You're not invincible.
Not invincible.
Wow, that's a piece of news, folks.
This just did. Kara Kimbrough is not invincible. She is not invincible. But no, so I'm not invincible, and I can get nervous too. Hey, when I get cut, I bleed the same color blood you do. Okay.
Oh wow.
I know, it's hard to believe.
Do you sit on the toilet the same way as everybody else does?
No, I probably sit on it like crazier. Oh man.
Yeah. Every time that somebody seems to you like they're bigger than life, just picture them on the toilet, you know?
Oh, are you kidding me? Absolutely. Yeah. These people come into this restaurant sometimes, and they're like, they're nothing's fast enough, nothing's nice enough, nothing's hot enough, nothing, you know what I mean? Nothing's enough. They're like unpleasable. It's like you're going out to these nice restaurants, and you think people should just be happy. But I'm like, some of the bitchiest people are eating out at nice places.
Yeah.
You know, just go stay home and be bitchy, because you're not going to be happy anywhere.
Right.
You know? So just take it somewhere else. But anyway.
But I think you can tell how someone treats people the way they treat their waitresses, right? Or the servers. And
yeah, I actually agree, yeah.
Because, yeah, that's like dynamics between people, you know? And if someone can't behave themselves or really conduct themselves in a civilized way, then fuck them, you know? I mean, tell them to go somewhere else.
Fuck them. You're like, if they cannot behave, well then fuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
I definitely see that, because I've been out with people that you learn about people, right? Mm-hmm. Like I met these two girls that were neighbors of mine, and they seemed really cool and really nice. And this is kind of a long story, so I'll make it short because it's gonna
be weird.
But anyway,
thank you.
They're really nice girls, but later through the friendship, I found out that they were kind of like in a cult.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's crazy, but not a cult, not like an organized cult, but it was cult-like. They were just like these crazy kind of Christian kind of girls that were trying to, like, you know, exercise the demons in your life. Does that make sense? Like, just very oppressive and controlling,
right?
You know, and that's not how God operates. But it took a while to kind of see it, because they ingratiate themselves and they become your best friend and all this stuff. And then you think you can be close to them, and then you start to realize they're trying to, like, control. It was like a really good life learning lesson, like, you know, not to let, you know, really watch out for the nuts, is basically. But anyway, these two girls who, you know, seemed really cool, and they are cool girls. We would go out to eat a few times, and I noticed that they would always send their food back, and they would always look for a reason not to tip very well.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it was like they would start looking for problems right away in their meal, and then they would send stuff back, and then they would think about how they were being, you know, not treated well, and how it, you know, it's part of their value and their worth is that they need to be treated a certain way. And you know, over time, I was able to see that connecting up with the crazy side of them, too, and how they view themselves and life and everything.
Yeah.
And I just think that when you watch people treat people that are serving them, you know, when somebody's serving you, and the way you look at how that person treats the person that's serving them, you know, not just food, but in anything in life, you know, it's very telling. It is very telling. And
well, of course, you know, because people treat other people, you know, more or less the same way. You know, it's their it's just the way, it's their MO. That's how they treat people.
Like, it's kind of weird because, you know, and this is humbling. It's always good to be humbled, because God, when he humbles you, I think that it kind of opens up your heart to be more connected to people and appreciate and have compassion. So it's funny because, you know, I do this radio gig and we're just being us and we're having fun. I do my shows. I'm on the, you know, I'm getting to do my thing, and it's just, you know, I don't think in terms of class system. I don't think in terms of status. That's just not the way my brain thinks. I just think people are people, right? Well, then I go and I go to this restaurant and I have this job where I'm like the hostess, right? And I've noticed that just by the sheer fact that I'm just the hostess, that when guests will come in, there's some regulars where the manager introduced me to some of the regulars. And he said, oh, this is our new hostess, Kara, and he introduced me. Well, I put my hand out to shake these people because right. that's what normal people freaking do, you know?
Yeah.
And they were kind of taken aback that I was going to shake their hand.
Really?
It was the weirdest thing. And it's almost funny. I'm like, is this really happening? Like,
yeah. what? Well, you know, in a restaurant, maybe it's not appropriate.
Come on, we're humans. If somebody's introducing you to somebody and says, oh, this Kara's a new hostess, this is so-and-so, and you're talking to them and you're standing there and you go, hi, and I think you'd shake a hand. I don't know. It's not, I mean, I didn't invent the gesture. It's been around.
No, I know. But it just doesn't seem right to me. If I went to a restaurant and someone said, hi, this is Kara, that's our new hostess, I don't know that I'd reach out and shake hands.
Well, I think if you're in a proximity where you're standing close and you're like considered a regular, you're not just a passerby, you're mm-hmm. somebody that knows everyone's name there, you know what I mean, and there's a familiarity. It yeah. wasn't like just a new, it was kind of like
I understand.
Well, just, either way, it was like a weird kind of,
maybe you're being too overly sensitive, Kara.
No, I'm telling you, I'm not a very sensitive person.
But did you reach your hand out and they wouldn't shake it back? Or
no, they shook it, but I could tell there was hesitancy.
Oh, really?
And it was like a weird kind of like, oh.
So you think they're like looking down on you or something?
Yeah, it was
really?
It's not that personal. Like it's not. It's more just the fact that, you know, you're the help. You're the person. This is what you do. Mm. And there was like, we're not on a peer level here.
Right.
They wanted to kind. So it was a very weird kind of, you know, oh, you're not supposed to shake my hand. But they kind of went with it. But you could tell they didn't want to shake my
really?
Hand.
Really?
Don't you think that's weird? Like if you were somebody, yeah. you went to go shake someone's hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't get the memo that I'm supposed to like look down at the ground and like cower back. I didn't get the memo.
Not look them in the eye.
Yeah, I didn't get the memo. I'm just like, we're all humans here. I'm just doing my job. You're coming in to eat. Great. You know?
Yeah.
But people like that. It's just weird. But that's happened. That kind of thing has happened quite a bit in this. Mm-hmm. And the thing where it's just you're kind of yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal, but it's yeah. stuff that you don't realize that still.
Yeah, working in a restaurant is hard, man, because you know you have to deal with the ugly sides of people too.
Yeah, people are just kind of you know they're kind of.
They have yeah their own expectations
yeah.
of what you should give them and all that, but you know when they spend a lot of money, I guess you can expect at least good service.
You know, I get that there's a business exchange going on. I think that, you know, if you're buying a certain kind of service, that's fine. But I also don't think that as the person buying, I mean, this is not something you can control, mandate, or enforce, but it should be kind of known that, you know, we're still dealing with human beings here.
Mm-hmm.
That person is just like you. They're just a human. So
okay,
there should be like a respect. You
obviously,
know?
These people have problems in other parts of their lives as well, you know, because that's the way they deal with people.
Like this guy that comes in that I actually know who's kind of notoriously one of the assholes that comes into the restaurant. Mm-hmm. I know him. And I took him aside. I was like, dude, don't be that guy. He was like, what are you talking about? I was like, the whole, I need to have this, 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 and this. Just come in.
Yeah.
And he was like, people pay good money in this economy. And I'm like, yeah, you're really hurting. And if you were hurting, you'd be more grateful to be here.
Yeah.
You know, don't use the emotion of the recession to justify being an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, returned his eggs 3 times. One when they were too runny, then they were too rubbery. Rubbery?
Uh-huh.
And then they weren't runny enough. Something like that.
Wow.
3 times?
Really? God. You can't possibly enjoy your meal that way.
I know. I'm like, why do you even go out? If life isn't good enough for you, like, I'm sure you make great eggs, huh? You make great eggs.
Yeah, make them at home.
Yeah.
For
anyway,
himself.
That's me ranting, guys. But that's just my new kind of getting used to it.
Yeah.
Kind of the
yeah, welcome to the work world, you know?
Well, no, I mean, I've had grunt jobs and stuff, but this is a little different.
Yeah.
I think it's just a little bit more like, I don't know, it's just a little different.
Just a little.
It's actually, the work is great. The work is pretty.
Really? I mean, do you look forward to going?
You know what's cool is that I'm meeting a lot of cool new people. I love that part of it.
Yeah.
And the work is not very hard. It's just detail oriented. And you know, I'm not into that.
Not into details?
No. Like, don't get me near a copy machine.
Oh, I see.
Like, I start to get sweaty when I get near one.
Yeah.
Like, you know when you're new on a job and you have to make sure you, like, do it right and you check your gut. And they, like, they're kind of watching you to make sure you do it right, which makes the pressure more. Yeah. And it's not my field. Like, I'm an entertainer and a performer. Like, that pressure I can handle, and it makes me nervous. This kind of pressure, I'm like...
Yeah, because you're not accustomed to it. I mean, it's not something you've done for a long time.
Well, it's not just the work. It's a skill set. Like, some people are very administrative, you know?
Right.
Like, it's their skill set. Right. Like, it's not my... strength. It's something I can do if I work really hard at it.
Exactly,
but it's not
your strength, like
yeah,
you said.
So when they want me to stuff envelopes and they want me to do certain things, it's the details of it, the minutia of it, I start to get, like, my brain gets scrambled.
Yeah, your head starts
spinning.
Then
the littlest tasks become, like, why the hell did I just screw that up? Like, I was told to put a bunch of...
You should definitely not be a secretary or anything like that.
Oh, no, you would pay me not to be your secretary. Yeah. I want to pay her to get away. But, no, I remember they gave me, like, these, like, this task to do at this one job where I had to, like, correspond the invoices with the checks, and then I had to put all the different checks into the same envelope if they were going to the same place, but not the same... I'm the same person, but not the same place. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that halfway through, I realized I did it backwards.
Really?
And I had to open up some of them. I had to open up some of these checks because they were going to different people, but the same place, and I had to separate them. And the manager was right over there, so I started getting nervous and sweaty, and I was like, oh, shit, he's going to screw this whole thing up.
Can't even fucking do envelopes.
I'm such an idiot. Why is this hard? This should not be hard. Anyway, so I'm like ripping them. I like turn my back, and I'm like ripping them open. I'm like trying to fit them all in the right ones, and I realized that the envelopes had other pieces of paper in them that I had to find. Anyway, long story short, some of them went to the wrong people.
Wow, very nice, Kara.
Anyway, all
very
I'm saying nice. Is keep me entertained.
Yeah,
people.
Well, try to keep the details straight on this job here because
it's very straightforward. I show up, I talk.
Yeah.
Show up on time and talk.
No, but you said there's detail involved. With what?
Oh, I thought you meant the radio. No, this job, yeah, it's good. It's more just like Tetris, like you're seating people and all that kind of stuff.
I see, okay.
It's not that it's hard, it's just a detailed thing,
yeah.
You know, in my brain.
Get to play Tetris.
And did I tell you, I found an old progress report that I kept as memorabilia when I was like in first grade.
Really?
And I stumbled across it, and it was a note written to my mom that said, Kara has a hard time paying attention and taking directions. She often is daydreaming. And when we were, and I remember specifically, we would have like reading time, and we're sitting on a big, you know, kind of carpet and what is it called? A rug. Yeah. And we're supposed to be listening to the story. Well, I remember sitting there and I was in my own world playing with the tassels on the rug and I was making like little sounds and noises and I'd get in trouble.
You were being a kid.
Yeah, I was being a kid. Yeah. That's like normal. But, you know, I was always off doing my own thing.
Yeah.
Kind of gotten, you know what I mean? But that's never quit is what I'm just saying.
I know.
I was reading it and I was like, man, that's just some people are just hardwired differently.
It's true. You know, I mean, I used to talk a lot too and I wouldn't pay attention and that. And you know how they always write, you know, he's got the potential if he can only, you know, sit his ass down for a while, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they tell a lot of people. But, you know, kids are like that. You know, they're all over the place.
Well, and there might be something in it that's good. That's like, it's maybe reflective of an innovation or ingenuity.
Yeah,
or
I mean, you're just different.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah. But I remember, and I put this in one of my stand-up routines. I was watching, it was like one of those quiet times where they put on somewhere, Wizard of Oz, right? And I always knew I was a singer. Like, I always loved singing, and I would out-sing anybody. It was just like my thing. I'd be like, sing it, I'm like, God! Like, just super, like, I just wanted to shine so much.
Yeah.
And I remember Wizard of Oz came on, and the lights are off, and we're watching it. Well, then Somewhere Over the Rainbow, the song came on.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And I'm, like, singing it, and the teacher comes up, and she's like, shh, Kara, you can't sing it. Everyone else is watching it. You can't sing it. And I was like, and I remember thinking, like, it's on.
They're singing.
I'm like, why can't I sing it? It's a musical. And, like, this is, I'm a kid. Like, I should be able to sing this. So she walked away. And then I was like, I wake up from the chimney tops. And that's where you find me. Somewhere. And then she comes right back over. And she shushes me again.
Mm-hmm.
And I just start singing again. It was something in my heart. I'm not even lying, you guys. Something in my heart as a little girl knew. I'm not going to stop singing because that's what I'm made to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I knew there was going to be some kind of weird consequence, I knew it was part of my purpose.
Yeah, but it was the wrong place to do it, obviously.
No, I was a kid.
Know,
it was exactly right.
Watch,
no, it was exactly the right thing to do.
Right.
But you know what she did?
Uh-huh.
She took me and threw me out of the class and made me sit outside.
Really?
And then you know what I did?
You sang.
I got on the chair. I scooted the chair to the door where there's a window.
Uh-huh.
And I watched it from outside and I sang in the hall.
Ain't no one gonna shut me down.
Isn't that hysterical?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
That's like bigger. That's bigger than the kid. I mean, I'm not trying to be rebellious. It's like there's something in you that just has to shine. Like, it's to sing it.
I guess.
You know, so you throw the kid out in the hall. What do? They get on their tippy toes on the chair they're sitting on. They look at the window through the door and they sing it out in the hall.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the stories of school.
Yeah. Did you like school or no?
I liked school, but not the studies part of it. I liked the social part of it, of course. I think I only learned to appreciate school much later in my life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in high school.
Oh.
And then college, of course, you know. But I was also the restless kid who couldn't sit down. You know, I'd pass notes all through the class.
Oh, really? Were you a little, like, troublemaker?
No, I wasn't troublemaker at all, but... you know, it's not like I was known as a troublemaker, but I was also, you know, hard to follow directions and take orders from people and shit like that, you know.
Yeah.
So I would socialize a lot, you know. I used to love the girls in the class. And
of course, we knew that.
We knew that, right?
We knew that. You probably fantasized about all of them and your teachers probably.
I did. The teachers too, yeah.
Did you have any teacher crushes?
Yeah, I did have one. I remember she was pretty hot.
Really?
And, yeah, I was. I had a crush over her. Yeah.
You know, when I went to my high school reunion, a few of the girls, well, like everyone's a teacher. It seems like that's the job that everybody became, which is not bad. It's a great job, but I have a hard time believing that a whole graduating class wants to be teachers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of like everybody's supposed to be doing that. Okay, whatever. But a few of them are really still really good-looking ladies. I mean, yeah. Really hot girls, and I'm thinking they're probably driving those kids crazy.
Oh, yeah, they are.
I mean, even if they dress...
They don't realize. I mean,
yeah,
the hormones are raging.
Even if they dress conservatively, because they do, because it's,
yeah,
it's Texas.
Matter.
And there's Texas and their teachers, so they dress conservatively. But I'm also thinking it doesn't matter. They still look very young, and they're very pretty.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
These guys are probably just, like,
yeah, the guys
hormonal.
Are just like, yeah, you know? Sit there, fantasize about her, you know, not pay attention to the material. And but that's what, yeah, that's what kids do, you know? What are you going to do?
Kids, you mean like hormonal teenagers,
kids,
right?
Whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
To me, they're all kids now.
What do you think about that teacher a while back that had, you know, had statutory rape charges with that kid?
It's not just one. I mean, there have been like a few, but...
Are they still together? I think they're together now.
Yeah, that's the ones from Seattle, I think.
Really?
Yeah. And, she was in jail for a while. And then she was released, I think.
Yeah, and then they had another baby. She went back to jail, right?
Yeah. But, you know, this has happened a few times, you know, and the teachers are really hot, too.
You know, it's like, what's
going on through their minds, you know? They must really
It's harder for people, I think, it's harder for people to have, I think, sympathy in that situation, even though it is wrong. I think it's wrong.
Right.
Because, you know, it's all about... there's a reason why, you know, there's an age protecting this, because it's about understanding consent and understanding those long-term decisions. Like, they don't have an understanding. But it is harder for people to have as much empathy as if it was a girl and a man, because, you know, the kid liked it probably, you know.
Right,
and there's
exactly.
Like a, there's a seduction.
The
there's a seduction and all that stuff.
It is.
It's still
it's
wrong.
Different.
It's completely wrong, but it wasn't, like, forcefully done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, but you know, I mean, when teachers get together with female students, I don't think they're forcing themselves either.
I think a lot of that stuff is way more.
I mean, if it's rape, it's rape. But you know, statutory rape is a different thing.
Well, even if it's not like forcefully done, and it's a girl and a man, I still feel like it's a much more of a predator.
Yeah, because we're used to looking at men like that.
Well, men are generally. I mean,
they are.
Women generally aren't predators, so it kind of just throws it off. You know
right.
what I mean? This is one of these things where it's thrown at the society, and we're like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, and women don't do those kind of things.
Yeah, but it's still wrong. I mean, I'm not protecting it at all. I mean, this is a young kid who, you know, she should know better, because you know he's hormonal, he's young, he doesn't know what he wants right now, and you're taking advantage of, you know, it's just
he can't intelligently consent, you know, and that's
why.
Yeah,
I mean, and what if he hits, you know, I don't know how old he is now, but what if he hits like 28 or 30 and he's like, why do I have two kids with this woman? Like, that wasn't part of what I wanted to really do, you know.
Right.
That was just, you know.
Yeah, that's why the age of consent is 18, you know, and I think that's too young too, but you know, what are you gonna do? So yeah, I mean, you know, you have to be careful with these things, you know, and it's just not, and it's not only that, but it's also the position of the teacher being in a powerful position, You know, so
yeah, it's actually definitely a misuse of power. But they were doing a lot of like candid interviews of people on the street and like, what did you think about this? What do you think about this situation? And all the guys were like, eh, good for them. Yeah, like,
exactly.
The guys,
that's what I wanted
wrong,
on my life.
Even though we realize it's so wrong, all the guys are like,
but it's wrong because we say it's wrong. There's nothing wrong with it.
But you just said from, and you believed that it's wrong because, you know what? He doesn't have the understanding of those long-term
decisions. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
but he does know he wants to insert his pee-pee somewhere, and that's the
pee-pee
way to do it, you know? So that's all they think about.
Is he a toddler? That's nasty.
So that's the story.
What do you call when you're growing up with when you're raising your kids? What did you call it for your kid? Did you call it his pee-pee?
No, we called it penis.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. For a little kid?
I think. I don't remember very
That's
well.
Just not that cute. I think I'm going to call my kid something cute.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like what? Like peanut? Where's your peanut?
That's cute, actually. No, my little brother, and I remember thinking this, you know, because it's your little brother, so it's nasty.
Yeah.
But like, I think my brother was finishing taking a bath. We were both kids, and I was getting dressed. And my mom was yelling. She always yelled. She was yelling at my brother or my dad. I think she's yelling at my dad to finish bathing my brother. And she goes, Dale. She's like, well, dry off his dinger.
His dinger.
She's like, or she's like yelling at my brother, Matthew, pat down your dinger. Pat down your
Did you play doctor when you were a girl?
Oh, yeah.
You did.
I did weird shit. Well, not weird. It's just, you know, it's stuff that you think you're getting away with, and you're like, oh, my gosh, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I'll show you yours, you show me mine, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah, that kind of stuff, yeah. That, man. I was doing it at an early age, too.
I think a lot of kids do. It's very, like, trying to understand your body, and there's certain things feel good, you're not sure, all that stuff, yeah. But it was also kind of a weird thing, because you kind of knew something was wrong about it, in a way. As a kid, I was always like, oh, I don't want to get caught, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, as a kid, you learn... You don't expose yourself, you know, but at the same time, it's I think it's very natural, you know, especially if the kid's horny like me. And that started at an early age, man.
Mm. Well, yeah, it was you know, I definitely got my little doctor time in and everything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got checked and everything.
Yeah, I had a mammogram. Yeah, I went ahead and got my colonoscopy done at freaking, you know, 10 years old, whatever. No.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just.
Well, I remember myself actually going and investigating the area, you know. It was fascinating.
As a kid?
Yeah.
With a little girl?
Yeah.
How were you
it was
guys
fascinating.
The same,
not just
age?
One girl. I mean, all the girls in the street, pretty much.
Did they
know?
Just show you their stuff?
Yeah. You know, they just lie there and I would investigate and... Not harm them or anything, you know. It's just
what were you guys the same age though, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. This is,
come
okay.
on.
I'm just checking, Sam. You creep me out sometimes.
Come on.
You come out with these things sometimes. I'm like, whoa, where's the show going? Ha 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 ha. Okay.
No, I've never done anything I'd be ashamed of in my life. You know?
Yeah.
That's one thing I know.
How weird and creepy is this? Hear me out on this. This is weird and creepy. So a friend of mine was telling me how there's this people who have, like, long-lost mothers and daughters and fathers and sons and siblings and things like that, okay?
Uh-huh.
Family members, basically, that have been estranged or they were adopted or whatever. And that it's been documented that sometimes when these, let's say, the mother and the son or the father and daughter will meet after they've not... Let's say after an adoption or something like that, and there's such a strong connection that it sometimes becomes sexual.
Right.
Have you heard of this?
No, but it makes sense to me because it's a stranger to you, you know? I mean, it's
and it's also kind of like this is a familiar. This is like this is somebody, because it's like in one way, as humans, that's like kind of the most intimate kind of physical acts that you can do to connect with somebody. Is sex.
Right.
So that it gets kind of misconstrued through this weird kind of like you don't know how to like be close to them kind of thing, and there's not that whole growing up with them. And so a friend of mine who was estranged from her father was really nervous to meet her new dad just because of that, hearing these stories and the sexual tension.
Really?
Yeah.
So what happened?
She actually never met him, but
really?
It was one of those things where she was like, nervous because of this whole, like, that, like, sexual tension and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow. Isn't that interesting?
It is. It's very interesting. But, you know, which is interesting in its own way, I was listening to one of our shows from yesterday. It's called Taboo Topics.
Uh-huh.
And she had a cougar who was 39 and a cub who's 25.
Okay.
Right? And now, this woman knew the kid when he was 8 years old. It's her friend's son, right?
Oh, that takes it to a different level.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I don't think anything happened when he was a kid, but, or maybe it did. I didn't listen to the whole show. But you guys should definitely catch it, you know? And it was, it blew me away, man. You know?
What does the mom think?
I don't know. I didn't listen long enough to know, but I'm going to listen to the whole thing. It fascinates me.
I don't know what you would do as a mother in that situation of the son, because you can't control, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
and he's 25.
Yeah, when he's over 18, what are you going to do, you know?
But yeah, and he's 25. He's not even a boy anymore. But the reality
is, I'm sure you'd dump your friend.
Yeah, I think I'd hate that girl. I'd be like, how dare you?
Yeah.
You skank. I would be so, so mad. I mean, not that she's a skank, but I'm just saying, as a mother, I think it would enrage me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your kid.
Yeah.
Somebody's like, you know, and
you
like.
What kind of relationship do they have? What kind of dynamics, you know, with a 25-year-old and a 39-year-old?
You know, that one doesn't freak me out as much, because actually I have a friend of mine who, she's 39, turning 40, and she's been dating a guy that's like 26.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, if you knew them, it's not weird. Like.
Really?
She's the one that's like abnormally young.
Right.
And she looks 25. She acts young.
Right.
I mean, she's mature, but she's just very youthful and looks a lot younger than people that are younger than her. And the guy that she's kind of dating is, you know, he's in finance. He's a real grounded guy. He's 26. So it's not, you know, it's not that. It doesn't have that weird forbidden fruit kind of
no,
thing.
No, no.
It doesn't.
It's not like, you know, when you
it's
get
not
it
like
on
she,
with your
40s,
friends.
If it's like four, some, a woman in her 40s and she's dating like a 21 or 19-year-old, that's creepy to me.
Yeah, it's creepy.
But a guy at 25, even though he still is really immature, he's not a baby.
No.
You know, he's not a baby.
But we don't know when it started. That's what fascinates me. I want to know when it started. That would be interesting.
Yeah. There's something about the whole, like, having to go after somebody younger than you that I don't like. That I mean, I kind of understand the attraction element to it, even if it's an older man and a younger woman, which I like that combo. But there's something still that I don't like when a man... It's one thing that if you happen to be attracted to somebody and they're younger than you, but when you only go after younger women or something, to me, what I don't like about that, to me, it looks weak, because it's like you're intimidated by women that are older, you...
Not necessarily.
No,
not
I know, I know.
You know,
yeah.
Maybe you're just attracted to youth, you know, and many people are.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, beyond looks, you know, because there's some women that look great. That
not are, even looks, even, you know, the demeanor and the, the attitude.
But still, but all of that to me suggests that it's something that you're trying to hold on to that's passing.
That's the way you view it, but, you know.
But it is, it's passing. I mean, nobody's going to stay an infant. No one's going to stay... 22. No, the part of life is to mature and grow. And if somebody that is more fascinated and more, it's all about this stage of life. They're not even that concerned with the person. They like the fact they're in the stage. That freaks me. That creeps me out.
Yeah, but you don't know that that's the case. You're just assuming.
I just think a lot of men that are attracted to, like, that are clearly way too old for girls, and they're like that are 22 and stuff.
Right.
To me, it's like you really are.
You know, I mean, I think initially it's the sex, but some people actually stay together for a while.
Yeah, well, that's different. I mean, there are couples that, I mean, I know some couples that are, there's a huge age gap, but they fit, they make sense.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about the exceptions. I'm talking about the general kind of, you know, she's got to look this way, she's got to be this age. And I think as a man, like, really, how smart are you? Like, I wonder, like, how intelligent a man is. Or there's something about a man that can handle a woman that's really sexy, you know, that can handle a woman.
Right.
You know, he, like, think she's not only sexy and hot, but that he can handle her life experience. He can handle.
So that's maybe the attraction for the young woman, you know, to be with someone like that, that would treat her in a mature way and in a caring way and so forth, you know. Not to mention a lot of experience in bed, you know, so that can help.
I don't know. I haven't had a lot of bed experience, as you all know, but
trust me.
Well,
you're the one who you yourself said that older women are more experienced in everything.
Oh,
right?
Oh, and yeah. I thought we were talking about older men. I'm like, I haven't been that impressed, is what I'm trying to say without going into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not well, that I you haven't met the right guys. That's why.
I've had a great time. I'm just saying it's not like the age has really produced a more sophisticated, you know, betting from what I've experienced.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. It's just you get a little tired or easier. You get a little more tired. Okay, cool. Now let's take a nap. Let's take a break. Let's stretch it out. Stretch it out.
No, it's not about being tired. You know, I don't think you ever lose this. I mean, look, you can see 80-year-old men.
I'm not talking about drive. I'm not talking about the drive. I'm talking about the performance.
The performance.
The intimacy. And I'm talking about the stamina. I'm talking about the sensitivity to a woman. Yeah. Like, some men grow up, and you can tell that they've never, like, learned how to, like, be a good lover to a woman. Mm-hmm. It's because it's not just get in there and do it. It's like there's a, it's really like reading a woman's body and being sensual and being receptive to a woman. And it's her, like, reach her on her language.
Yeah, well, that doesn't come with age, you know. I mean, I'm sure there's younger guys who can treat a woman nicely.
I'm kind of thinking that there might be, you know, the younger guys, it's maybe more of an intuitive thing, and maybe some men are more intuitive in that area than others, and some guys can.
Yeah, you can't generalize about it, I don't think, you know. But
no, I can't, because I haven't had that much experience. But the what I have had with the older demographic, it's not, even though I'm how weird is this? I'm way more attracted to that demographic, but I don't think it's as fulfilling. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because you haven't tried it.
Tell me, I haven't tried it.
Okay. You've tried it once or twice with an older man, and you're already making generalizations.
Absolutely, that's what I do.
Okay. I know. I know. Oh, wow. So check this out. In San Francisco, they may order Happy Meals to go permanently. In other words, they want McDonald's to do away with Happy Meals.
Why?
Because they're saying that they're enticing kids with the toys to buy, food that has no nutrition whatsoever.
That's not a government-regulated thing.
I don't think it
is. Get the hell out. Yeah. Government, stay out of the private sector. Just stay out. It's not their place.
Yeah.
It's called choice, people.
In schools, they do the same thing. But I guess in school, you know, it is a government institution and everything. You can understand that. But how can you interfere with McDonald's, you know? I mean, you know, did you ask the kids if they want to give this up? Or the parents, I mean? You know, what if the parents like the idea?
It's like, it's too much. It's not that I'm defending it. It's just saying, this is about control.
Right.
It's not your place to control the decisions. Inform people, make everything informed. I believe nutritionally it should be informed. People should be educated to make and then be given the choice to make the right decision for themselves. Mm-hmm. But it's not our job to control what people consume.
Yeah.
And what they want to purchase on. Like, I have a friend who literally, we went on a road trip and we stopped at every McDonald's because she wanted to collect all the Monopoly things.
Yeah.
And it was really fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, she didn't eat all that stuff. Or actually, she did. She's tiny. She ate it all. But my point is...
But it is scary when the government starts interfering in private business.
Yeah, I just think it's so weird. It's like, your job is not to take away choice. Stay out. Like, educate people. Like, let's make it informative.
Right.
But then stay out.
So that, you know, so they're going to impose... like, if they want to have Happy Meals, they need to improve the nutrition with fruits and vegetables. I mean, this is McDonald's, for crying out loud. You don't expect fruits and vegetables.
McDonald's isn't in the business of fruits and vegetables.
Right.
It's McDonald's is a fun,
and
happy place.
And if a kid eats there every once in a while, it's not the end of the world, you know? As long as you don't eat there every day. So...
I don't know I don't know why they feel like it's their need to, like, tell people what they can buy.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And why? Where's the parent that's paying? I don't see a kid pulling out their wallet, right?
Yeah.
So this
I guess they're concerned with child obesity, but again, you know, I don't think that's the case here, where the Happy Meals are the culprit. You know.
No.
It's in what the parents.
Well, like if there's certain shops, like there's boutique cupcake shops. Mm-hmm. There's certain industries that are in the sweets. They're in the luxury industry. They're in all these different industries.
Right.
You don't go in there and tell them, oh, we have to moderate your luxury or your sweets or whatever, because you know what? It's just, if people were to consume this daily, it's going to harm them. That's the business they're in. Is you know, producing sweets or having this luxury dinner or whatever, and it's up to the consumer to decide
exactly. And I mean, how much are you going to regulate?
McDonald's is not fresh and easy. McDonald's is not known to be Subway. It's not its market.
Yeah, you're supposed to know what you're getting when you go there.
Yeah.
And McDonald's is saying, you know, it says it's not what our customers want, nor is it something they asked for. Public opinion continues to overwhelmingly be overwhelmingly against this guided this misguided legislation. Parents tell us it's their right and responsibility, not the government's, to make their own decisions and choose what's right for their children. So that's exactly what we've been saying. You know, I mean, the government has no place interfering in shit like this.
Hey, government, here's the thing. Get a hobby. You know, like stay out. Stay out. San Francisco, clean up your streets, man. Do something else.
Yeah.
You know, you got hypodermic needles. You got a lot of other crap going on. Take care of it.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah, I mean, that's California. You know, it's all bullshit, man. People are so fucking phony here. You know, and then they go and fucking drink their lives away, you know, but I'm going to tell the kids what to do and their parents what to do, but I can go and have my own vices and that's fine, you know. So
I know, that's pretty hypocritical.
Yeah, you know, but
I just think there's so many problems the state has. It's like, you know, it's not about, you know, mandating people's every freaking decision.
Yeah, their diets, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
I mean, educate, of course, you know, which is what they've done. They've exposed a lot of what's in the food. They've got nutritional information, da 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 da.
Right.
But I mean, it is what it is. This is McDonald's. It's a place that's supposed to be, you know, fun and a treat, and, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little burger place.
Yeah. Oh well. Did you ever post on Facebook when you were pretty drunk?
No.
After a few drinks.
Have you?
No. Because I don't drink. But the thing is that. Apparently, they have an app now. They have an app now that keeps you from posting when you're drunk, you know, because you might say the wrong things that you don't want to and stuff.
Do you have to install the app yourself?
You install the app and then,
okay, good.
And then
it's not
it gives
forced
you a test.
On you, okay.
So you set it to a certain time, and if you're posting after a certain time during certain hours, it's going to give you a test.
What kind of sloppy drunk do you have to be to be like, man, I really get hammered too much. I'm going to get this app just to stop me from hurting my
exactly,
Facebook
from
reputation.
Saying stupid shit.
Oh my gosh. What kind of sloppy drunk do you have to get this app? That
That's
is
what
funny.
I'm saying. I mean, how successful is this shit going to be?
Yeah. I don't even think I've drunk dialed or drunk text. Actually, that's not true. I've called a couple, you know, boyfriends when I've been a little bit.
Yeah, but on Facebook,
buzzed.
You're putting it out for the whole world.
Everybody, I just had 5 McDonald's cheeseburgers because I just drank my weight and size, and I love panties.
Yeah.
You know, what are you what are you gonna, you know?
Oh, man, that's fucking stupid, man. I've got to tell you. People will do all kinds of shit, you know?
That's funny, man.
Yeah.
That is really, really funny.
I know. So what else is in the news? Have you heard that Elizabeth Smart is back in the news? You remember her? She was a Mormon that was...
That was taken hostage, right?
Yeah, right. She was
What's
taken...
What's going on with her?
So now there's courtroom drama, I guess, of the people that... I haven't followed this much. I'm just looking at the headline, though. And she looks almost the same as she did when she was a kid, you know? Mm. She's a pretty, very pretty woman. So...
She's the young girl that was abducted by that crazy guy, right?
Right.
With the wife and
with the
kids.
Wife in Utah.
And what, didn't Elizabeth give birth to children while she was there as
well? I don't think so. Did
no.
she?
No, this isn't the same girl. Okay.
No, that's a different one, yeah.
Okay. Can you imagine that? That's just...
Yeah. I mean, that's terrible. You know, you're taken away from your family and shit, you know, and it's like, yeah.
Wasn't she tied up, I think, outside? And
I don't think that was the case there, but let's see.
Yeah, I think there's two separate stories. One was one girl was taken hostage, and she ended up giving birth to 3 kids during the course of her abduction.
Right.
And was released, and then the other girl, I don't know if it's the same or not, but she was like raped every day. She goes, I didn't go one 24-hour period without being raped.
Yeah. And that does happen, you know. I mean, if you remember the one in Austria like a year ago, 2 years ago, where he put his daughter in the basement and his wife didn't know anything, and he had like 7 kids with her or something. She was there for 25 years. And, I mean, it's just appalling. I mean, how can you even think of something like that, you know? But, Elizabeth Smart was actually one of the lucky ones, I guess. And,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He like, chained up his daughter in the basement and
yeah.
had kids with her?
Yeah, he told his wife she disappeared or something. She was taken away, whatever. And,
Yuck.
Yeah.
Oh, can't handle it.
Yeah, it's too much, these stories. Anyway, Kira, we're at the end of the show.
Well, I hope you guys are feeling better today.
Yeah. I know, with my irritation in the morning and the depressing story at the end. Anyway, thank you all for joining us, folks, and we'll be back here tomorrow live.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.